show, even though ABC preempted The Bachelorette for Trump indictment news here on the West Coast.
What is up with that coming on so late? I don't want to talk politics, but that was 9, 10, 11, or at least 10 p.m. their time.
Yeah.
That happened?
Yeah, if you're on the East Coast, you'd have the news break at like 11 p.m., I guess. I don't know. I think the indictment came out late in Georgia.
That's very strange.
So what I did...
But what you did is...
So I got word from Mark, the fourth Bachelor Master, your partner, that it was being preempted because I have the DVR set, so I wasn't going to watch it till the next morning. No big deal. But he texts me. He goes, dude, it's preempted. So I went on, and sure enough, ABC is playing the news, not The Bachelorette. So I go, what do I do? So I went into my DVR settings for the recording, and you can tell it to not stop recording right away. You can say, record from 8 to 10 p.m., but don't stop recording until 2 hours after 10.
Right, like for sports and stuff.
Yeah, you might do that for sports, exactly.
But what I don't understand is, so they played it. They played the whole show.
Uh-huh.
From what time to what time?
About 9 o'clock. It started, the news was about an hour, a little over an hour.
Okay.
So okay. It started at just around 9:05, I think. But I wasn't paying attention. I was sleeping at that point. It was the next day when I watched it. I noticed it was about 65 minutes in that the show started.
Gotcha.
This is okay. All terribly exciting. You know what I'm
well,
saying?
I would like to know what happened, because imagine if I'm just one antenna, no Hulu, no DVR. I would be very mad if I missed a whole episode of something. I mean, like, as I have been in the past, you know, when they're like, we're going to play this at 1:30 in the morning now that we didn't play it at our usual primetime slot. Okay.
But
Greg,
as it happens, you do have Hulu.
I do have Hulu. But what if I didn't? And what if it was 20 years ago is my point.
They didn't have podcasts 20 years ago. Well, maybe they did. When did the iPod come out?
About more than 20 years ago.
Yeah, it seems like that. Yeah. So maybe podcasting's been around that long. I don't know.
Who knows? No, I mean, it definitely has not been around that long, but it's not worth going into is my point. Okay, Craig, I'm glad you watched the whole thing. Very good. I have questions for you.
Oh, no.
Were we, again, completely validated in everything we said the whole season? It's just so interesting, right?
In what way?
We can start at the beginning chronologically, which was John. Do you remember who John is from his from Charity season?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm feeling like you don't. But
give me a reminder.
John is a dude she was making out with, and she cut him like hours later. And he was the guy that Brayden interrupted when he came back from his
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So he just kept – like there was a whole bully group against Brayden. And we're very lucky that Brayden is not – he's too cool to be bullied. Does that make sense to you? Like, he won't be bullied. Mm-hmm. You got that? Okay. So okay. John came off to me as a little snake – so just to remind you who John is, I guess.
Timing is everything. The fact that you took that moment in the most crucial moment of the entire week right before a rose ceremony is what hurt me the most.
You want to pretend like I came and like gypped your conversation? Like, bro, you were making out with her.
I waited for you to wipe
the makeup off your face before I even let my presence be known, dude.
This dude is running on his emotions. Why could you fault him for that?
Because it got in the way of other people being.
This ain't
able
about
to
everybody, dude.
Connection.
This is about her.
It's about charity.
Exactly.
His connection ended. To build those connections.
Okay, Adrian, I want to ask you, because you obviously had concerns about Brayden very early on. When did you start becoming skeptical of him?
Probably that night after the group date. Once he said what he said, he packed his bags. He couldn't do this. I just feel like, honestly, he signed up for the wrong show.
Like everyone went against Brayden, right? But Brayden would not have it, and I don't think. I think Bachelor Nation kind of buys into, like, you know, throughout the show, we said that absolutely Brayden might have been, you know, spoke too much or whatever. But Bachelor Nation takes the bully man's side. They love alpha males. Right, Craig? Are you here with me? Alpha males.
I mean, they like Chad, and Chad's the ultimate alpha male.
Right. He's kind of like an exception, though, in terms of he bullied Chris Harrison, which I loved.
Right.
But otherwise, he was like a dick, right? Right. So it just they were trying to attack him, and he wouldn't have it. And they know that the men, the bully group of contestants, know that Brayden did not say what they said he said. He did not use the word classless. And they couldn't find it. I know they couldn't find a tape of it. But it reinforced our idea that Brayden was the thought leader of the group.
So just the stuff we said in the past?
Yeah, and when he left, the whole group kind of stopped having a common enemy. And then they became just a group of... Okay, what do you think about the bully group going through the whole FP thing that no one knew about?
Yeah, that
meaning,
was weird.
Well, what? I mean, that's right up your alley, aren't you? Isn't that a bro-y bro thing?
What? Since when am I a bro-y bro? Come on. Give me some credit.
I'm asking, is that right up your alley?
How would I know? I'm not a bro-y bro. I don't know anything about FP.
No,
why would anyone do that?
Well, why would anyone do that? Yes, why would anyone do that?
Why are you asking me?
Because that's what I'm talking about. They are all about common enemies.
Hold on. You know what it reminds me of?
What?
It's Brett Kavanaugh. Remember, they put something in their yearbooks that said that they slept with a certain woman.
It does remind me of that. Well, talk about bro-y bros. He's a total bro, right? All the stories that came out during that hearing, Brett Kavanaugh, were total bro stories. And then he was like, I'd have a sifter of beer every once in a while.
I like beer. Yes.
Oh, I'll never forget the way he said, I like beer. He was pissed. Anyways, it gave huge Hannah Brown men season things. And Hannah Brown's men are, I think, iconic to me and you and iconic to Bachelor Nation for different reasons. Right? To thread this needle into there is times, and especially in Bachelorette seasons, where a group of men get together and subconsciously decide on things. And they are just this bully group, and they're bros, and they're alpha males. You don't see it every season of The Bachelorette, but you see it a lot of seasons.
Uh-huh.
And when you have a disruptor like Brayden, it makes it so much more interesting, right? Because Luke P from Hannah's season was not a disruptor. He was kind of the opposite. He was.
This is making my head hurt.
Someone that he was easy to pick on. Well, I'm trying to make it digestible, but I guess I'm not doing that.
In one sentence, explain what you're talking about.
I'm trying to say that the big overarching trend here, the big themes of Bachelorette seasons to me, are whether the men decide to join a bully, to make this huge stance as bullies, or to kind of do their own thing and everyone's seriously there for whatever reasons they're seriously there for, and they're mostly social media reasons, but they'll tend to bro out, right?
Okay, so the guys on The Bachelorette act like bros, that's what you're saying.
Act like bros, but what's dangerous is that when they become like a mob mentality bully group of men.
Yes.
And they skew our view of regular people or our view of they'll pick on someone to mercilessly.
And you're saying they're picking on Brayden.
Brayden and that Peter guy. I mean, some stuff came out about him being that only there for cameras, but it's total projection, right? Yeah. It's like, yeah, so is everyone.
Peter didn't really help himself either.
No, he did not.
Because they were like, you were only here for the cameras. And he's like, well, yeah.
I mean, all he has to say right there, but see that men who are usually in that group and who somehow become the outcast know what they're up against, so they choose not to fight back. Man, this is getting complicated. But you get what I'm saying, kind of.
I think so.
So if you know what you're fighting against, you're not going to fight against it. I think Peter is used to being in the bully group of men, but because he was cut night one, I guess said the wrong things at the wrong time, he was completely, he was on the other side of it, right? Yeah. Okay. Anyway, okay. I want to talk about Brayden though, like for reals. There was a tongue in cheek kind of little disclaimer that no footage was found of him saying the word classless or anything else that they accused him of. And I do think that the other men lied about him.
Right.
Do you agree?
I don't know.
Okay. let me play this for you then, because this is interesting. He says, Brayden says a lot of things, and I think the most important thing he said is this.
Like, you said you were jealous of my experience on the show, but like, how do you form a connection with someone when other people are constantly going and whispering and talking to the girl that you like, that you've been open with, that you've been transparent with, and have that stuff come back and hit you and bite you in the ass?
Well, because you weren't smart about what you said.
Because I was being real. I'm not manipulating this girl.
You said, I was just throwing stuff out there. You can't just throw things out there on ears that you don't know what they're going to think.
Okay.
And
that's what I forgot, dude. I forgot that I have to be smart. I have to play a game. I got to manipulate everyone. I don't know, man.
His biggest problem was that he was too honest and he's got weird earrings. Like, I mean, I don't see how that's that big of an issue.
Right? All those things are true. His biggest problem was that he was not smart, in quotes, about it, as in not conniving and not genuine. He was too genuine.
Okay.
You agree? I don't know. The thing is when he tells the truth, they start dogpiling him because they don't want the truth to come out.
I'm just not that invested in Brayden. Get his back, you know?
Well, I think you might not be because Twitter X doesn't exist for you right now. Because I think we would have a lot of defending to do. I do think Bachelor Nation does not see him favorably, and I think that's incorrect, much like Luke, right?
Right.
Not that Luke was great. Brayden's much better than Luke, but I think he's much more defendable, and I think there's a bad perception of him out there, right?
So what you're saying is that if you were at a bar and Brayden was there, you'd go up and talk to him.
Not as I like him, but as a dude, you got a bad cut. Or okay. How could people see you like that? Okay.
I don't know if he got a bad cut. He got a cut exactly who he is. And now he's going on Bachelor in Paradise and making out with people. And we all saw that.
I guess that's true. I guess that's true. You know what? That's interesting what you're saying. Because right now, what I'm seeing is that what does the audience of The Bachelor want in, like, a man?
Right.
Because why wouldn't you? I mean, let's just say you are into earrings or, like, they don't – let's just say they don't like that or they do like that. I don't care. But why don't they like him?
Why doesn't Bachelor Nation like him, or why don't the producers like him?
Then Bachelor Nation, the audience.
I don't know if they don't like him.
I think they don't. Like, you heard the boos from
What I think Middle America really wants is Caleb in his white cowboy outfit.
So what you think Middle America wants is, I mean, what is the perfect, like, the, you know, Ben Higgins, like, non-offensive, still works out,
right?
But like I'm confused about.
Honestly,
that.
It's the golden zaddy. That's who they want.
Oh,
all 70 years of them.
Well, yeah. I guess we should jump there for a second because I just have. I thought he was incredibly sweet and genuine and sharp and funny. And if those lines were given to him, then he has great delivery.
We're talking about the Golden Bachelor.
Jerry with a G.
Yeah, I thought he presented himself well too. But I do think, like, if you're in Nebraska and you're watching this show, then yeah, Gary's your man. Gary and Caleb.
I don't know about Caleb. See, that's where I think you get it wrong. You, like, you go Hulk Hogan, you go too far on people, Chris. I think there has to be, see, and that's what The Bachelor originally, like, I feel like the original concept of The Bachelor was this kind of incredibly good-looking everyman. He will read a romance novel, but he also chops wood.
Right.
You know, he will fix your car, but he can also listen to kids.
Right.
Like, he does these, but there was a time when the first couple seasons of The Bachelor, where they were looking for the most boring people, but you're supposed to fill in with your own mind where, you know, why they're great.
Yeah.
And, I was not, yeah. So, like, this is return to basics, right, Gary? Jerry? Well,
what did you think of the three past Bachelorettes that came out?
I actually I didn't watch Trista's season. I know a lot about it because I heard a lot about it, but that was not good experiences for Dez and Deanna Pappas. Those were, if those were my, like, there's a few Bachelorettes that stick out in my head as cringy seasons because they were so embarrassing, right? Jillian, Deanna Pappas, Dez, and I feel like Becca Kufrin. I mean, except for her ending, she got a great ending, but all of them did not.
Right.
So I find it interesting that if that was me, I would not want to be associated with the show anymore. Because it's bad memories. Maybe it's so, you know, it's kind of like high school. If the most embarrassing times in your life come out during high school, but then, you know, that's how you met your husband or that whatever, then maybe it's all a wash to them, but it would not be a wash to me.
Well, it doesn't prove your point though. Your point is that they used to want, like,
no, well, okay,
good,
well,
men that are hard to.
Yeah, that's the men's side. The women's side is much different. The Bachelor has always been that. This is return to basics for the show, the flagship show, The Bachelor. The Bachelorette is a whole different story because that was made in a reaction, right? If Mike Fleiss and the whole crew had it their way, it would be a patriarchal, what people in America think the 50s were like. You know, the whole show is based on courting.
Right.
Like, that's what we're watching, which is, in no world does that exist. I mean, people that's the amazing part. Americans love to complain about how this is not something I would ever say, but backwards other societies are. And yet they believe in courting, according to the show, which is never, like, how long did that last? Like, what?
Right.
Where's
this
coming from?
Right. I see your point.
Yeah. Anyway, I liked Gary, though. I thought he was the perfect, if he was 25 or 31 in the first year of The Bachelor, he would be the first, he would have been the first Bachelor also, right?
Right, right.
Makes
right.
sense. Okay.
Who was the first Bachelor?
He was some unknown guy named, like, Adrian, but the first memorable Bachelor was, like a Firestone, but there's one before him that I'm forgetting right now. But there was the first season of The Bachelor was like this guy that totally dropped off the face of the earth in terms of is not around. Okay. If I have to leave soon and Caitlin's coming in, I just have to talk about Xavier because can you remind us what happened last week during the fantasy suites that made everyone turn on Xavier, including Caitlin?
That he had cheated on his past girlfriend.
Right. And that he also, and the kind of the egregious part, because that's, you know, what's done is done. But the egregious part was that he implied to Charity what?
That he was becoming introspective.
Well, that too, but also that to be able to continue this, they'd have to go to the fantasy suite. to
He needs more. He needs more in order to
see more. Right.
Yeah. He needs to see more.
Yeah, and it was so people really turned on him, and he's on this mea culpa, right, tour. And they obviously – ooh, and here's another part to it. They recorded Mental All before the airing of the Fantasy Suites episode, because everyone watching the screen was completely shocked when he said, I cheated on someone. Oh, but don't – but I might cheat on you. I don't know yet. I'm not committed to you yet. Also, if you want me to be with you, you have to come to the Fantasy Suite with me first. Everyone in the audience, including the men, were shocked. Did you see that?
Maybe.
So this was interesting. I saw this as not just his mea culpa tour, but his spin tour, right? He takes a spin on everything. The reason he said, I need to see more, that actually meant, or the foot in his mouth part was, I fear love not being reciprocated.
I thought he was saying that he put his foot in his mouth by telling her that he had cheated to begin with.
No, that's not how I understood it. Here's Caitlin to be our tiebreaker, though.
Hi.
You're back.
Yeah, I literally just walked through my door like 2 minutes ago.
And here you are on the podcast. That's the dedication we look for here on the soon-to-be renamed Bachelor Masters podcast.
Oh, God.
Bachelor PhD.
No, that doesn't work. Yeah,
I don't think that works.
How was your travels?
Pretty good. Went okay. There were therapy dogs at the airport.
Ooh.
So that made me happy.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we're discussing Xavier.
Perfect, mm-hmm. Caitlin. I'm so glad you're here because... Caitlin, here is him explaining, in quotes, what he meant during the Fantasy Suite dinner portion.
I think what kind of like made me kind of snap and stick my foot in my mouth was one of my biggest fears is for love to not be reciprocated to me. And so at that hometown, you know, I told her I was falling in love with her, and I guess I expected her to say it back. And I shouldn't have expected that, but that fear kind of just arose and took me back to that really hard time. And I kind of just...
Okay, Caitlin. So what... So we've established that Xavier is on this mea culpa tour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved how he started his couch time by being like, I don't condone cheating, by the way. And it was like, sure, sounds like you did last week, buddy, just saying.
What is that? He said that? Condone
he
cheating?
He said something like that. Like, I can't remember what the exact phrasing was.
Cheating,
but it was trying to be like, hey, I don't think cheating is good, FYI, everyone. It's like, it's weird, because last week you made it sound like you simply could never stop cheating, even if you wanted to.
Right. So, he says that the reason, I mean, this is, again, we have to translate what he says, even for Craig. The reason he said to her, in quotes, I need to see more, referring to, yes, we should go to the Fantasy Suite, but I can't promise you I will never cheat again, was because he fears love not being reciprocated. Also in quotes.
Yeah, and you know what really helps ease my fear of my love not being reciprocated is just having sex with that person I have concerns about. You know, like, we don't need to solve that in any other way.
So the spin is out of control because he won't stop spinning, right? He won't stop taking it to a place where he's not exactly culpable. There's a reason why he wanted to have sex with her and not promise her anything. I mean, I don't know how they got to a place where everything was amicable.
I don't know either, because if I was her, I'd still be maybe not angry, but I'd be like, this fucking guy. you know?
Yeah, because he just basically said the same crap over again in a new on a couch.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, his reasoning for what he said is that he was afraid of his love not being reciprocated. Okay, but that's not what you said at all. You weren't like, I'm scared that you don't return the feelings in the same way. That's one of my things. He never brought that up. And the way he says it now basically just sounds like he's trying to find, like, he's throwing a bunch of spaghetti at the wall to see what sticks in terms of how can I get America to forgive me for.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, a lot of people would have forgiven you just for saying you cheated in a past relationship. It's everything else that he did where he was just like, yes, I cheated and I will do it again. Also, I'd like to have sex with you now.
Yeah, if I'm ever on a boat, watch out.
Oh, yeah. If he's around his boys, you know, nothing's be able to stop that. Too bad. Sorry. You know, could be married with like four kids or whatever. He's still going to be cheating.
So, one thing that really bothers me here is that he says something, either he says the word mistake or he says something akin to mistake. And it is, I don't know what mistake means anymore. You know, a mistake is whoops, it's a whoops. It's like, I didn't mean to do that. But like cheating, I can see being a mistake, but he treats other things. I'm not sure if that's a mistake. A foot in mouth. Mm-hmm. He also said he stuck his foot in his mouth. Is that the mistake? Is the retelling in your own words the mistake? Like,
I think, like you say, it sounds like to me.
He's word salad-y. Yeah.
Is that he said anything at all? That's what he's kind of thinking now, right?
Yeah.
Or that he said it on camera. Maybe he's thinking the mistake is he should have just pretended there was no issue. And then he said all of this to her off camera, where she would have also dumped him, but he wouldn't have been on TV saying the things the way he said them.
So, right. So what happened here, to like be super clear about it, is that he looked forlorn. He used words like mistake, foot in mouth, I fear. Right, so dot, dot, dot.
So what you're saying is he did everything right, yet he was still wrong.
He did not do anything right. He just had the appearance of doing things right. Right? He used words as you should, but then he never quite rounded out the act. He never said he was sorry. He never said anything. He never actually said anything.
Yeah, it still just didn't make sense, really. It's like, okay, you put your foot in your mouth and you made a mistake of some kind. Was that when you said you couldn't promise not to cheat on her again? Was that the foot in the mouth? Or was it the part where you said you needed to see more in the fantasy? Like, which part is this that you're saying was the mistake? It's all just confusing. And then, like, the stupid knit rose that he gives her, what is that for? It's like, here, I knit a rose that looks like the rose that you hand out as the lead. I'm giving it to you to, I don't know, apologize?
Yeah, to like make it about me again. Well, see, that's the thing is that he does this like, and I can see why this works on people. He whirlwinds them in this like, you know, appearance of correcting the issue where nothing, absolutely nothing is corrected. There are no, I mean, this is national TV. This is him having thought about it for 3 months, and this is the best he could do? I am just, I would be very, did anyone buy, like, I wonder if anyone bought it. Is my problem is that he didn't, you know, he doesn't look cocky. He is cocky. He, like, don't let it be said that he's not cocky. But because he didn't look it and because he didn't act it, people are probably okay with him. I mean, even Charity kind of bought it, right? She was like, okay, yeah, it's fine. She didn't look upset at the end. She looked like she got to some place of closure, which makes no sense.
Well, I'm kind of assuming that she got to her, like, closure situation probably on her own before this conversation. She decided she no longer, like, cared about that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm guessing, is that... What I'm sort of assuming is at the point that she's on Mental All this week, she is already engaged to somebody and they're probably still together and she's fairly happy about it. And so now she's like, yeah, it sucked that Xavier, like, didn't tell me this earlier, said it in such a way, was, like, not the person that I was hoping he was, but it no longer matters to me because, like, whatever, I found my person and it wasn't Xavier, you know?
Right, but the problem there still is the TV layer. Like, you can't ignore that he's an example. He's doing something, like, I wouldn't be able to ignore that he per se, like, let's say, there's a few ways you can look at it. He embarrassed her on TV. He made, you know, he's not quite giving an answer when he should. You know, there's the TV layer where if someone's a liar on TV, it doesn't matter how that affects you. You should still call them a liar, right? Or that they are spinning things, that they are deceptive, that they're trying to, like, get away with things. If TV wasn't involved, I think that could be, like, it. Like, that's it. She's engaged to someone else. She moved on. She doesn't care anymore. But the fact that she's the bachelorette and that happened to her, it's good that she – and also, you know, she stood up for herself. So I guess that's, like, to her closure enough. But I would still have that angle of, like, this is not – what you said just made no sense. You go on and live your life, you know. But you are not, like by me, I have nothing to say to you, you know, because you're not going to make any more sense to me. Anyways, that's it on Xavier. Let's see how he does after this.
You think he'll be on Bachelor in Paradise?
No, I honestly think people buy his
crap
that he's selling.
Yeah, and that it'll be, I think he might be on it, but he won't be, like, one of the earliest ones who is, you know, like a main person. He'll come in, like, midway through or whatever. And it'll all be about, like, can he find redemption in a relationship where he will swear he won't cheat?
Yeah.
I always love on Bachelor in Paradise when, you know, people who got this far go on and be like, I like Charity, but man, this person is way better. And you're kind of like, I think you were the one who got rejected there, buddy. Not the other, you know, they're all, it goes both ways too. Cause you, sometimes they don't like the lead and you can tell they don't, and they just say that to the camera. But sometimes, like Xavier, yeah, he's also, his motives are still a mystery. Like, why did he say it then? She said the same thing. She's like, why'd you tell me that? Why didn't you tell me that earlier? anyway, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Well, they even showed the clip. Right before, like, his hot seat, when they were showing, like, the highlights of their relationship, and they show the clip on their one-on-one where she says to him, like, he's like, what's your biggest fear in relationships? And she basically says, it's cheating. And he's like, well, I can swear that I will be completely honest with you. And it was like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
You literally just swear you'd be completely honest. And what you left out of that statement was you had cheated and you're not sure if you can stop cheating.
And he barely flinched, right? He, like, did not do... He was cool as a cucumber,
looked
like...
Mm-hmm. sincere when he said it, which is, like, even scarier to me, honestly.
So scary. Okay. Speaking of hypocrites or, like, around there, I love that they cut out the clip of Aaron saying to Brayden, she sent you home, man. What are you still doing here? Aaron said that. Who's now took a trip, went on a plane. Brayden probably went a whole mile and a half in a car. This guy got on a plane to Fiji from San Diego, which is easily 10 hours.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. And what the preview makes it sound like to me, mm-hmm. I mean, I assumed already, just based on having watched the episode last week, my assumption was Aaron gets dumped first in this episode, right? Just because it wouldn't make sense to me if she, like, say, got rid of Joey and kept Aaron, you know, like, it doesn't add up at this point. But what it looks like it happens from the preview is it sounds like she keeps him for, like, some sort of, I don't know, something. They're making out on a bench, so they have some time together. Yeah. And then he says something to her about how he doesn't know if he can propose this week because he needs more time. And it was like, well, all right, guess you're back on the plane to San Diego then, buddy.
Isn't it weird that, like, the whole show, the whole conceit of the show is falling in love as fast as you can, and if you don't, you're the bad guy. Isn't that weird?
Well, it's not that. I think what makes it not even that he's a bad guy, he's not being portrayed as a villain or anything, it's just sort of nonsensical when you know the whole point of the show is to get engaged, and that she has other men there who at the very least are telling her that they're absolutely ready to propose, right? Mm-hmm. So why would she keep this guy who she previously sent home 1 week earlier and then decides to allow him back? And one of the things he basically says is, you know, well, because he left, he didn't have enough time to get there now. And it was like, well, okay, I guess I was right to dump you the first time, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I know it's obvious. It just seems weird to, like, base who you like on whether or not they're going to propose to you. I mean, it's such an artificial construct, you know? There's no analog to it in the real world.
Sure there is. We just talked about it.
Courting. What, dating three guys and whoever's going to propose first? That's like an episode of Friends.
It's courting, Craig. It's you know, courting was you literally meet them like three or five times. And then you're married to them.
We just talked about it.
That's why it's like, what? That doesn't exist anymore.
You just gotta hope that.
And you go off your gut. And no, the women do not go off their gut. The men, the parents do. Right?
Yeah,
they're like, this guy makes enough money. So go with that.
His parents.
The dowry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, no. But you're taking it somewhere else when it's right here in America. You don't have to take it anywhere else.
Well, you think courting is happening in here in America?
No, I'm saying that's what it's based off of the American courting system of like the 50s.
Mm.
That's what the show is based off of.
Yeah. All right. I guess so. Since, Caitlin, you were just in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right? Can we talk about the Bayou guy?
Oh, yes. I appreciated by you guys' accent, if nothing else.
it's amazing to me that we live in a country where there's a part of it where you can almost literally not understand a word they're saying.
There's a lot of parts like that, Craig.
Yeah, I know.
There's a lot of slightly different parts like that. I can understand what he's saying, but I think I've also become acclimated now that, like, I go to Louisiana fairly regularly.
Right. Are there people that speak in, what do you call that dialect?
Creole.
Yeah, Creole. I mean, some people might say Cajun, and they're, like, in some of the same areas, but are not exactly the same thing. Like, Cajun is the descended from the French Canadians, Acadians sort of thing. And Creole is basically the mixture of various people. So it would include, like, long time ago, like, enslaved people, Native Americans, like, all of that goes into Creole accents and Creole food. So that's why they're, like, different. It's like, oh, yeah, the Cajun stuff comes, like, French Canadian heritage. And Creole is, like, a mix of everything else in Louisiana.
Hmm.
I'd probably say most of the accents like that are probably Creole at this point.
So when you're in New Louisiana, you just run into people that have that accent?
I have met people who have accents like that, or like other types of Southern accent as well, because there's a lot of different ones down there. Yeah, also, I met a lot of sorority girls this week because it's rush time. And a lot of them were in my hotel for some reason. And I was like, we're in the hotel elevator together. And I was like, what are y'all doing in the hotel and not in your house, you know? Right. So it's like, they were wearing sorority like shirts. So I was like, they all clearly go here. And something about how they weren't allowed to move back in early, but the women who are in the hotel with me are like the leaders of Rush. So they're the people running it. And wow, some of the sayings that they have, I'm like, I don't know if it's Southern or if it's like fraternity, sorority, Greek life stuff. But like one of them, every morning that I would see her by like the breakfast nook thing, she would say don't have a good day, have a great day. And I was like, okay. I was like, sure, they're basically the same sentiment to me. I don't know. Like, I don't know why this is a saying that you have specifically, but all right.
Yeah. I have a fun factoid for you. Louisiana is the number one mother death, like in the developed world, not in like America.
Maternal death rate or whatever.
That we must have watched the same episode of 2020 or something, because I recall that news story as well.
Isn't that wild? In the developed world, not just in America. All of it. Everything.
The healthcare system, you know, in America is bad in general, but like from what I've seen in Louisiana, it's just like isn't run well, and there aren't that many hospitals, and like it's all just kind of a mess. That's where I get my healthcare from.
Yeah, and then people call around and go, "Can you do this for me?" They're like, "Well, just go home with some aspirin. Like I'm literally bleeding from my miscarriage." No, that's fine. Go home.
Yeah, I don't find
die
that
there.
Surprising.
My dear Lord, like it's just. It is wild. Yeah, we must have watched the same thing, Craig.
And I also, like,
wild.
I don't know the exact stat on this. Maybe I'll do from watching the 2020 episode. Black women have a higher maternal death rate than white women do. And the population of Louisiana has a very high percentage of black women in it. So I'm guessing that plays into the statistics as well.
Also, the kind of, I don't know, church-run hospitals. So they will not treat you, like, even if you really wanted it.
Yeah, the big hospital nearby where I work is run by the Catholic Church.
So no women's health there.
No,
I think it's like the biggest children's hospital in the state too, or something like that. Like, yeah. Huh.
Okay, we're going to take a commercial break here to play an ad from another great podcast from the Bridge Burger Podcast Collective. And when we come back, EZR is going to be gone. I tried to say that like Chandler would say it on Friends. Oh my God, EZR is gone.
Pretty bad.
You should have seen my hand movements. It was very Chandler.
Oh no.
Could EZR be any more gone?
Yeah, there you go. That's Chandler. Oh my God, that was good. Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Do you like pilots?
Do you hate pilots?
Are you indifferent to pilots?
Have you ever met a pilot?
Have you ever flown your own plane?
They get uploaded. They're uploaded to YouTube.
They're all on YouTube. They're right there. Just for you.
They're for free. Nobody's watching them.
Why would you watch them? But guess what? There's two people that love to watch them. It's Stuart and Joe.
We watch them so you don't have to.
We're putting in the work.
We've got cow people. We've got reincarnated dogs. We've got wizard superheroes. We've got extremely short private investigators. Hobo probate law.
We've got a dog with the brain of a man. And a man with the brain of a dog.
We tell you not only what happens, why it happened, who it happened to, what happened after.
And why it stinks.
Error.
Poo-poo.
So come watch Piloting Error. Well, don't watch it.
Come stand behind me in my basement while we make the show. Could you bring me another beer?
What's the network?
Only on the Bridge Burner Collective.
Wherever find podcasts.
Wherever you're getting your podcasts.
And we're back. It's just Caitlin and I now. What did you think of Caleb in his white cowboy suit?
I mean, it's a look. And I do appreciate when somebody kind of goes for it look-wise, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Not just a basic suit. They try to do something like I liked what Brayden was doing fashion-wise too.
Oh God.
Because it was such like a different thing, right? That like he's wearing this like sparkly all black situation. And he's got his little like necklace tassel of some sort on there.
Right.
And his earrings were smaller than they've been before, but they matched the outfit. So I think like that made sense. And Caleb's I liked because it was like, this is an attention getting
outfit.
Oh, yeah. I like the white suit with the pinstripes. I just call me old fashioned, but I don't like it when people wear hats inside. I don't know. So him wearing that big cowboy hat.
I'm
going
to call you old fashioned.
I don't know. I mean, I understand like a TV set is a little different. It's not.
Yeah, and you like, you have a look going on. You don't want to like take off the hat. Just and he was like always wearing hats, wasn't he? He was wearing a lot of hats. So
imagine having to light that. Like they had to light him so that his face didn't get all dark. That's hard.
Maybe
to
they
do.
Put like a little light right underneath his. Yeah, maybe. To like flash up a little.
Yeah.
But yeah, I liked those. I like some of the men were wearing some interesting suits. They of course many of them suffered from the too short crop. On the leg, which I don't hate when the legs are a little bit cropped up when it's like warm outside, you know, but they have to go see an actual tailor. And I think a lot of these men don't because like, I think Sean, when he got up at one point and you could see like how far his pants had ridden up, he was sitting down and I was like, oh, it just looks bad.
Yeah.
It's not flattering at all. It isn't like, oh, look at that cool suit on that guy. It's like, oh, this man's pants are too small, is like what it looks like.
I wouldn't know where to get pants that ride up like that. I don't know.
I feel like they almost shop at things like, I don't know, like Zara Man or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know where these men shop, but they should be like, like, not that I actually go to a tailor for most of my clothes, but I do know that if you want them to look good on your body, yeah. They're supposed to do that.
I'm a big tailor advocate. Guys should go to the tailor.
Yeah, especially if you know you're going to be on TV wearing your suit, then you absolutely should be going to a tailor because you want it to, like, fit perfectly and look really nice.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, if you're going to your own wedding or if you were going to be, like, the best man in a wedding or something like that, like, you should go to a tailor. For that suit. People are going to be looking at it. You want to like have it look right. So yeah, I did notice that clothing wise.
What
of
else
course, a lot
did you notice in terms of? Oh yeah. Well, what else did you notice in terms of fashion?
Oh, I'm trying to think. Not that much. I mean, so like Caleb and Braden are the only ones who really had like standout looks. I'm trying to think. I did notice that what's his name? Michael, the yacht captain, he was wearing socks, which almost no one else did. So I noticed it. His suit was okay overall. I remember being like, oh, that's nice. But I don't remember much about it now. Everyone like looked mostly normal. There were some, of course. Did y'all talk about the F Peach thing?
Yeah, we didn't quite get it. I mean, Ezra was adding it to her thesis statement that Braden was getting bullied. I didn't understand that at all.
It was very weird. I was like trying to read up about it because I was like, what are you talking about? So apparently when the men posted, like a lot of them post their official headshot from ABC to like announce like, hey, I'm on this season of The Bachelorette, like when it's about to air. So when they posted that, they put a hashtag that was just FP, which stands for like F Peter.
Right.
And apparently almost every man on this season posted it on there. Some have since deleted it or edited it to remove it. But even Dotton put FP on his post. It was something like, weird. I'm going to go look. Bachelor Data had a post about it. And it was like, Joey did not post it, which is interesting. And he's one of the few.
Well, these people are all millennials, right? I thought millennials are all supposed to be woke and like would never cross that line with each other. Like school is a lot different now. You know, you're not like the bullies are the ones that are targeted for bullying by the other students, right? Like you can't be a bully.
I think Ezra has a point in that. So Braden did put FP on his post and then he's the only one who told Pilot Pete number two what it stood for. Uh-huh. And therefore, that's how he found out, which then Xavier is the one who was like, why'd you even tell him, man? And it was like, come on, you cannot be on TV being like, why'd you tell the person we were making fun of? We were making fun of him, you know? And the only thing I could find out about this was that apparently no one liked him on his single night in the house. And then they didn't like him on some Zoom call after filming.
Right.
Apparently he said something about how like he wanted to know about endorsements and
merchandise. Yeah. Well, they mentioned that on the air. They
yeah, said, and like, it's like this stuff doesn't make a ton of sense, frankly. It's like okay, as if all of you aren't going to also want to do exactly that. so, yeah, I don't know. It was confusing to me. I don't blame Brayden for telling him because I feel like that's actually much nicer.
Well, what easier and I did connect it to is Brett Kavanaugh. Remember, it came out during his hearings that there was essentially a hashtag on his yearbook photo that all the guys would put if they had slept with one specific woman. Remember?
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, how creepy is that?
Like that.
Jeez.
Which is
what
weird
a total also. Creep. I don't care if you're 18 or whatever, 17 or however old you are when you're a senior. That is messed up.
No, it's very weird.
So that's why it's so weird to me that they'd all gang up on this Peter guy and do FP, because it seems like everyone could kind of come to the conclusion that that's messed up.
You would think, logically, all of these men are like the youngest one is like 24 or whatever, right? So in between 24 and like 34-ish, you'd think that they would be old enough to know today in 2023 that you should not be like bullying somebody, even if that person sucks, that you can't all gang up on them to be like, wow, not only do they suck, but we should make a secret sign to tell them that they suck. You know, it's like, no, you could just be like, okay, none of us like him. And the reason is because of these things.
Right.
But you don't need to be like making secret in jokes about how much you all don't like him. You know,
yeah, exactly.
It just seems really silly to do, especially when it's a person who wasn't even like on this show at all. So no one's going to be asking you, you know, like, oh, why aren't you close with Pilot Pete number two? It was like, nobody even knows who that is. They don't care. So it doesn't matter if you sucked, you know?
Right. What did you think of the three ex-bachelorettes coming out?
It was fine. I mean, I actually like that they included one who didn't marry her final pick and is also getting divorced.
It's like, I'm finding myself.
Yeah, I was like, you know what? I'm glad you didn't only pick the handful of people who like ended up with their final pick. There's very few to choose from.
No, I mean, I agree with you. That's nice to have that kind of
some contrast of being like, it didn't work out the way that the show thought it would. But
like, it was kind of weird though, because Jesse was like, oh yeah, he's here to give you all the advice you need. And it's like two out of the three aren't even with their guy.
No, I think two out of the three are with their guy.
Oh, I got it. I got it. One was single now.
One is single now, and she did not marry her person she picked at the end. And I think the other two did marry the person they picked.
Oh, did that? And one's not divorced from that person?
No, there's two who are married to their final pick. They're still together. There is one who did not marry her final pick. She married somebody else. And then is getting a divorce.
Getting a divorce, yeah. Okay, I got that wrong then.
Yeah, so I liked actually that there wasn't only the, like, three women ever who have married their final pick or whatever. So I'm like, oh, okay, you know, this is nice to just be like, well, I guess at least it didn't work out the way the show wanted it to for her, but she still has, like, a good relationship with the Bachelor franchise, so that's something, you know.
Okay, last but not least, Easy and I talked about this. She's super pro Zaddy. What did you think of the golden Zaddy?
Oh, our golden bachelor.
And that reminds me, I'm going to do this right now. I want to look up where Zaddy comes from, because it's not a word that really makes sense, you know?
I don't know where it came
Zaddy.
From. I've been using it. I don't
a
know.
Daddy is while a daddy is an attractive older man, Zaddy is a man with swag who is attractive and also fashionable.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I get why people are calling him a grand zaddy, but I would say he's not particularly fashionable. He was just wearing, like, a normal outfit. And all of his outfits on the clips we've seen are just like, this is a normal man outfit, you know? Like, he's not particularly styled up. I think I like him, but I'm, like, skeptical in certain ways, right? Like, first of all, he seems too good to be true. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, he's handsome for somebody who's 71. He does not look 71. He had a perfect love story, and then his wife died tragically. And, like, now he's ready to find love again, and he has a great relationship with his whole family. And, like, right. And I'm just like, where are the skeletons? Have they done a thorough review? Because they better have. Because if there's a skeleton to be found, it's going to be found. And, I just don't know. I'm like, I did feel weirdly emotional while watching. I'm like, I was like, why am I feeling feelings? I, like, am not even bought into this fully.
Maybe you like Zaddies.
I'm not attracted to him, Craig. Okay. He's too old for me, personally.
Yeah, but you're not too old for him, probably.
Probably not, honestly. I mean, he's looking for second wife now. The first wife passed away. And in their mid to late 30s is possibly not too young for him.
I know. They're just going to fuck with us when it comes to how old the women are going to be on the show.
I feel they've said something about how they're going to be, like, is it 55 and up or something like that? But I just feel like there's no way they're not going to put at least one or two younger people on there. And it just would gross me out if he kept them at all. You know, it's like, if they do that, they have to be cut on night one by him, or I'll think he's a pervert. You know, like, it'll just be gross. If it's like, all of these women are between like 55 and 65, except for these two, they're 39, you know?
Right.
And if he's like, I like them, I'll be like, okay, you're gross.
Yeah, especially if he ends up like picking a 30-year-old, that'd be really
weird. I would feel very wrong. And it would be like, you're not the person they sold us. You know, like.
So yeah, in the end, you're just like every other man.
We will see. He was like surprisingly funny. I didn't expect that from him. But the clips where he was like, you know, I've passed my, like, STD test and my drug test. And I was like, okay, that's a funny thing to say. I feel like he was funnier than you would expect him to be, given that he's, like, a 71-year-old white man from middle of nowhere, Indiana.
Right, Indiana. He's actually, get this, he's from Iowa.
Oh, no way.
He moved to Indiana recently.
Oh, is that... All right, so the house he lives in now was his wife's dream house. Mm-hmm. Which I guess happened to be in Indiana. I did hear somebody ask on a different podcast where they were like, okay, so if this works out and he meets his second wife, does she move into the first wife's dream house?
Yeah, why not?
And I'm like, I don't know. I could see it rubbing you the wrong way potentially. But then if you're like, but if you really like the house too, then maybe it's fine. You know what I mean? Like, I would assume that he's got to be open to moving, because it would be weird if he's like, I'm going to get married again. You will have to live in the house that, like, my dead wife specifically loved a lot. I'm not open to negotiation on that. Like, I feel like if second wife decides it's okay, then it's fine, but it shouldn't be his primary choice.
I'm sure they're just going to move to LA like every other bachelor couple.
Yeah, but I don't know if he could even have a fruitful influencer career, because there just aren't that many older influencers. Oh, I
well, there must be, though.
Like, celebrity crush is apparently Helen Mirren. That's good. I like that.
Who's Helen Mirren?
You don't know who Helen Mirren is? Like, the actress Helen Mirren? The very well-known, famous actress Helen Mirren?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Okay, Craig,
Helen,
are you joking?
Helen Mirren.
You've never heard of Helen Mirren in your life?
I'm not a big fan of people.
Of, like, seeing any piece.
Okay, here you go. She was in The Queen, which
I never
watched.
She played The Queen in The Queen.
And she was in something called Prime Suspect.
My mom loves that show.
See, these are all stuff I've never, would never watch. She's British. She does a lot of British
stuff. She's British, yes.
Yeah, like, it's listing her movies. I've never even heard of some of these. The Long Good Friday? Teaching Mrs. Tingle? No.
Well, okay, what I liked about this is that he picked an age-appropriate actor as his
That's
celebrity.
Smart move.
She's older than him, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's 78. So I'm like, okay, that's good that your celebrity crush, when you were like, oh, I would love if Helen Mirren was single and was in the cast. And it was just like, that's good. At least she's age appropriate for you and, like, doesn't look like she's had like 27,000 plastic surgeries to make her face not look
right,
old.
Right, right, you
know? Right. She probably has had something. I don't know. But she looks like she's an older person because she,
right.
you know.
Right.
Huh. I liked that. Something I don't like is that he pronounces his name Gary, but he spells it Jerry.
So you think he should be a Jerry?
I think if you want your name to be Gary, go legally change it to be spelled Gary. You know, like I'm sorry, your parents definitely named you Jerry. They definitely did. You don't spell Gary like that. That doesn't make any sense. And it's fine. It's fine if you want to go by a different name. Just like start spelling it the way that most people do, or phonetically. You know, don't spell it like a completely different name.
It's like a power move. You know, when he meets new people, they're like, "Oh, you're Jerry." He's like, "No, no, I'm Gary." See, he corrects them, which puts him on higher footing.
This is like pickup artist thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. okay, all right. Well, we managed to have a Bachelor Masters, soon to become Bachelor PhD episode, where EZR was on the first half and you were on the second half. getting this to happen was kind of a feat of engineering.
Yeah, I was honestly like, oh, this isn't going to happen. But
we haven't missed an episode in a long time. When we started, it was just me and Chris. We used to miss all the time because the stakes were real low, you know.
Mm-hmm. But now they're so high.
Yeah, now they're so high. We can't let our dear listeners down. So that's why you get episodes on a Thursday.
Yeah, listen, some weeks we're not all available on Tuesday or Wednesday. So yeah. It happens occasionally. It will almost certainly happen again at some point, just because we all have differing schedules and appointments and responsibilities and all of that.
Right. Okay. Well, we will see you next week.
Yes. See you next week. Looking forward to the finale and then the Golden Bachelor and then eventually at some unknown point, Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah. Can't wait.
And an unending line of Bachelor shows forever.
Yeah, no kidding. Jeez. Okay, see you later.
Bye.